Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music bringing a Christian message of hope and courage to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And this is Brian Wilkie speaking. I want to thank all our listeners for listening and for your support. Your encouragement really helps us as we continue this ministry. Remember that you can always visit our website, goodnewschristianministries.ca, for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. Today, I would like to speak to you on the second part of a message about the Great Commission, the call of God to make disciples. Now, the scripture, again, from last week is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to read it again just to keep it fresh in our minds. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you even to the end of the age." We began last week by just taking a look at the scope of discipleship, how discipleship is woven throughout the whole of Scripture, from the Old Testament through the New, that God is training up people in holiness and in service to know Him and to worship Him and to carry His message to the world. We talked last week about how a mathetes, a disciple, is not just a student at a desk compiling information to pass an exam, but a learner, a disciple, is someone following and doing as well as learning the important facts. Again, last week we had that brief history. This week we're going to talk about who's training who. And as we explore this theme, we're going to talk about our role in being disciples and our role in making disciples. But first, let's listen to this song, which reminds us of the great love of God in Jesus Christ, because that's the root of all our discipleship. And so here's the song, again, by the a cappella singers, This Hope, Of the Father's Love Begotten.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, He the source, the ending, He of the things that are, that have been, and that future you shall see. Bear the Savior of
As we think about Christ's great commission to his people, to his disciples on that mountaintop, what is the commission? What is he telling us to do? What is the focus of this commission? The focus really seems to be to make disciples by teaching them all that Jesus has commanded them to do. Everything that Jesus taught them to do, they are to do as disciples of disciples. Now, discipleship is described in extremely huge terms in this commission, because Jesus talks about making disciples from all nations. And so the disciples are going to come from every nation, every tongue and tribe, all the people of the earth, from every people group and from every place. We see that summed up in the book of Revelation when the culmination of this great commission is to see a gathering of a multitude without number that are praising and glorifying God because the great commission brought the gospel to them. So the work of discipleship is definitely going to include the missionary extension of the gospel into other lands, into places where it's never been heard, into different languages which we don't yet understand. And that work is going on with great effort and great dedication, many people making huge sacrifices, laying down their lives daily for Jesus Christ in the mission field. But most of us are in our own hometowns. We're living in our own houses. We have a place to lay down our head, unlike some of our missionaries who are going from place to place and not in security. We find ourselves in a familiar place. But Jesus, in giving us this great commission, tells us that wherever we are in a mission field. Isn't that true? Do you have to look very far to find someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ? Do you have to look far afield to find a young person who is trying to understand what it means to follow Jesus? Do you even have to look outside of your own age range, your own demographic, to find someone like you who is needing to grow more in their faith, needing some help and encouragement, struggling with sin, and trying to find out how God is going to help them along the way? So let's remember the missionary call that is to all the earth, even the parts of the earth that are right next door. And the commission is also for baptized disciples. Now, I'm not about to launch into a debate about the method of baptism, but I do want to touch on part of the meaning of baptism as expressed in the Great Commission. God wants his followers to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Doesn't this point us to the need for the disciples to be immersed first and foremost in the reality of who God is? Wouldn't it be a disaster if we created a bunch of good, well-mannered, obedient citizens who had no clue about the one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If they had general notions about God that were enough to give them guilt if they disobeyed and fear of punishment, but didn't give them the capacity to worship the living God in spirit and in truth? Disciples are followers of a personal God, not merely followers of a law of do or do not. Moreover, baptism is a cleansing of sin, a death to self and living to God our Father through his Son Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we teach one another to do all that Jesus has commanded us to do, we must not neglect the fundamental command: love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. There is a great commission to make people aware of the glory of God, that they might have the joy, the life, and the new birth that Jesus Christ has provided. To do what Jesus has taught us to do includes worship. It includes to draw near to Jesus, to God, to draw near in confidence, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that God has an eternal, glorious plan for our life. Now, we'll get to more about this task of discipling each other and this opportunity to disciple each other in a few more moments. But I'd like you to listen with me to another song. This is a song that speaks of that glorious hope of eternity, which is part of the good news we have to pass on to disciples. It's a song, an old spiritual, sung this time by Steve and Sarah Bell, and it's called "I'll Fly Away." There are two sides to the Great Commission, because we cannot disciple others until we've been trained ourselves. Now, the two go together. Part of our training as disciples of God is found in training others. I'll give you an example of that. Back when I was in high school a few years ago, the best mark I ever got in high school came from a class where a good friend was repeating the course. she had been having a great deal of difficulty with it the first time round, and because I was better at science and that sort of thing, which was the course at stake, I sat with her throughout the year. And while the teacher was teaching the lesson and while we were doing our exercises, I would be constantly helping her to understand, answering her questions. The teacher gave us a lot of leeway in that, because I was often talking to her while he was talking to the class. But he knew that there was some real learning going on. She actually passed the course, I'm glad to say. And I got the best mark I'd ever had because I learned it so thoroughly as I taught her. I want to ask a question. Who is teaching you? Who do you have in your life that is speaking into your life about the Word of God? Now, I know you're listening to Good News in the Morning, and that's one set of voices. The four of us, Brent and George and Juliet and myself, you're allowing us to speak the Word of God into your life. And that's wonderful. But we certainly hope and we pray every week that you are going to a church where there's a pastor that is teaching you as well. Or perhaps more than one pastor. In fact, I'm concerned that so many people have only one person giving them discipleship in their life. One great way to limit your learning is to wait until an overworked, harried person who is expected to provide discipleship, care, leadership, and administrative services to tens or hundreds of people is ready to give you some time. The amount of time you can expect from your pastor is always going to be limited. So who else are you turning to? Or are you satisfied just to get a little dribble once a week at church, or perhaps another time at a Bible study? Are you finding other ways to learn and to practice and to engage in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Do you read? Do you listen to other radio shows? Do you take something from other teachers and compare it to the Word of God and learn and grow that way? Some people like to say they have one book, the Bible, and that's a great position to be in. I have one book, the Bible. But God has shown in the Bible how many counselors help to make good disciples. He shows how his servants, like Paul and Peter and James and Jude and all the council of Jerusalem and the teachers and elders in different churches, all contribute to the discipleship of his people, to the growth in holiness. And when I read a book, I don't look at another book as some authority that I must listen to. When I read a C.S. Lewis or a Dietrich Bonhoeffer or one of the old church fathers or sermons of Spurgeon or Wesley, whenever I read any of these things, I count them as a brother or a sister who has been learning from God and is passing on what they have learned to me. Sometimes they have been right so often that they have a certain amount of authority with me. But all the time when you're reading, you're learning from another brother or sister. They might make some mistakes along the way, and you pray for discernment and you compare what they write to Scripture, but you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater if you find one mistake. Do you have other teachers? Do you have friends that you actually talk about spiritual things to? People who are about the same place as you, where there's a peer-to-peer kind of relationship, where you learn from each other, you correct each other, you bless each other, you encourage each other. Do you have friends and do you have elders, people who you recognize as having gone far into the faith and having wisdom to give and pass on to you? Do you have prayer partners? Do you have accountability partners who help you to maintain holiness? There's so much richness that you can have in your training process with God that makes it easier to make progress instead of, as so often we do, pounding our head against the same wall forever and ever. Progress in the faith is a great gift that God gives us through this discipleship process. And you know, as you make this a priority in your life, you're already setting an example for others. You're already giving, without making a show of it, you're already giving a demonstration of what it is to really put God first in your life. I'm so privileged that on a weekly basis I'm able to meet with another group of pastors, a number of whom are retired, and they've been through all the battles of pastoring and all the joys of pastoring, and I feel, even though I'm nearly 50 years of age, I feel like a Timothy sitting at the feet of apostles who have experienced so much and have so much rich wisdom from God to share. I also am able to go to conferences and hear from others who have been in the trenches of sharing the gospel with a world that isn't always happy to receive it, and learning to be encouraged and not to give up because I see others who have persevered. There's so much to learn. Who is teaching you? And now to the other question, who are you teaching? It was at a conference recently that I was sort of refreshed in this Great Commission idea by a pastor from Dallas, Texas named Tommy Nelson. And he so strongly spoke about the Great Commission being a commission not to the church as a whole only, but as a Great Commission to each one of the disciples. How often have you listened to a sermon and you've thought, I'm glad the pastor's telling all of them that, and then you realize that maybe he was talking to you as well. Do you think any of the disciples up on the mountain, some of whom worshipped and some of whom doubted, were thinking, oh, he's telling them they ought to go and make disciples? And then perhaps later in the evening the penny dropped and they asked themselves, maybe he's telling me to go and make disciples. I can tell you, Jesus is telling each believer, each follower of him, to go and help other people to follow as well. Biblically, we have examples of leadership in the family, of helping children, your spouse. Even sometimes, children setting the example for parents so that faith can grow in the home. But you also have co-workers. Every one of them needs Jesus Christ. Some of them might already be going to a church somewhere, and you haven't talked about your faith enough to encourage them to speak about theirs. But you may find that God has placed among your co-workers people who also want to grow in faith. Are you pouring some of the wisdom God's given you, some of the questions and some of the answers, into somebody else's life, a younger Christian? Not just through a program like Sunday school or Bible study, but through actually developing a mentoring relationship, a friendship, a teaching friendship with another searching soul. There are times when you're the one being taught. There are times when people can teach each other. And there are times when you're the one who's looked upon as the one who has had some experience and some knowledge of Scripture. God has a great plan and a great command. This Great Commission is so joyful to fulfill. As you obey in the area of training and encouraging others, He will be training and encouraging you. There comes a point when the only way to continue your growth in holiness is to start to obey this command and help others to grow. So who are you teaching? Who is there around you that you could turn into a person that is able to benefit from something God has taught you? Let's pray to God about this. Almighty God, Lord, help us to see the opportunities you've given us. Help us to be discipled and to disciple others. Jesus has been given all authority on heaven and on earth, and He is with us to fulfill this command in us. And so we thank you in His name. Amen. And I want to thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. So if you can, please continue to pray for us. And if possible, make a donation payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program, and don't forget to visit our website. You can find several of our programs available on podcasts and a series of devotions written by our founding preacher, the Reverend Dr. Alan Churchill. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, here is a song by Sarah Groves, Say a Prayer. And I hope that your life will be filled with prayer, prayer that is coming close to God, as you have your heart and your mind personally caught up in the love of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Childhood runs across the meadow, taken in the night, told it will be working in the city for a while, staring from the windows, leaning in the door, flickering like a candle.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.